Hey everybody, and welcome to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. I am your host, Kylie Gable, and today we have a little bit of a shorter audio from Mistress DJ that I wrote as a commission, which is why it's shorter than a normal audio, about 25 minutes, and it is called Feminized for Swim Class. And yes, we do commissions. If you are bored with what I'm writing and you love these narrators and you would like us to do a story that you would like, send me an email, kyliegable@yahoo.com, and we'll get something set up. So the first one, like I said, Mistress DJ does a great reading on my story, Feminized for Swim Class.
Feminized for Swim Class. The clatter of dishes in the sink punctuated the cramped apartment as Gwen scrubbed away the remnants of last night's hastily made spaghetti. Chase lounged on the thrift store sofa, his bony legs sprawled across the faded cushions. He flipped through a magazine with disinterest, the pages a blur of sun-kissed skin and azure pools. "Did you even look for a job today?" Gwen's voice cut through the music thumping softly from Chase's phone. "Jobs don't just fall out of the sky, Gwen." His eyes never left the glossy paper. "Besides, I have plans." "Plans," she muttered under her breath, her fingers pruny from the soapy water. "More like daydreams." "Hey, can you not do that so loudly? I'm trying to concentrate here," Chase said, gesturing vaguely at his head without glancing up. "Concentrate? On what exactly?" Gwen turned off the faucet, arms akimbo as she wiped them on a dish towel, her gaze scathing. "Important stuff," he replied, finally looking up as he caught sight of an advertisement featuring a local swimming pool. There she was, Tabitha, her bronzed figure positioned confidently beside the starting block, whistle around her neck, her smile bright enough to shame the sun. "Ah, important stuff," Gwen echoed, sarcasm lacing her tone. She leaned against the counter, eyeing him. "Very important," Chase mumbled, turning the page with a reverent touch. His heart raced at the thought of seeing Tabitha in person. If only he could muster the courage to sign up for her swimming classes. "Enlighten me," Gwen said, cocking an eyebrow. She crossed her arms over her chest, the dish towel still in hand. "Okay, fine," Chase sighed dramatically, pointing at the ad featuring Tabitha. "I was thinking about signing up for swimming lessons. Good exercise, you know?" Swimming lessons. Gwen's eyes narrowed as she took in the image of Tabitha. "With her?" Suspicion tinged her voice. "Maybe," Chase shrugged nonchalantly, trying to sound casual. "She looks like she knows what she's doing." "Of course." Gwen rolled her eyes and tossed the dish towel onto the counter. "Well, if you can somehow find money for swimming lessons, maybe you can find money for rent, too." "Relax, Gwen. I'll figure it out, okay?" Chase said dismissively, returning his attention to the magazine. "Figure it out," Gwen echoed once more, though this time her tone was cold. She stalked off to her room, leaving Chase alone with his fantasies about Tabitha. As the door clicked shut behind her, Chase couldn't help but imagine how different his life would be if he could just impress someone like Tabitha. He envisioned them laughing together by the poolside, her hand on his arm, her admiration evident in her sparkling eyes. But first, he had to take that leap, quite literally, into her world, and of course find a way to pay for it. A half-empty beer can teetered precariously on the edge of the coffee table as Gwen sat cross-legged on the living room floor, surrounded by a fortress of unpaid bills. She clenched her jaw, a storm brewing in her chest as she tried to suppress her frustration. Chase had just left for another party, and his laptop sat open on the couch, the registration page for swimming lessons with a very hot instructor named Tabitha that Chase had been crushing on displayed prominently. "Unbelievable," Gwen muttered under her breath, shaking her head at the sheer audacity of it all. A wicked smile crossed her lips as a plan began to form. Her fingers darted across the keyboard, switching the instructor from the alluring Tabitha to the notoriously tough Mark. She hit save, closed the laptop, and returned to her financial woes. "Hey, Gwen," Chase's voice broke through the tense silence as he stumbled through the front door, the stench of alcohol clinging to him like a second skin. "You wouldn't believe how wild that party was." "Chase," Gwen said, her voice tight, barely managing to contain her fury, "we need to talk." "About what?" he slurred, collapsing onto the couch with a dopey grin plastered on his face. About this. She waved a stack of overdue bills in his direction. You're not only behind on rent, but also your car payments. And I've been getting calls about some bookie you owe money to. Come on, Gwen. Don't be such a killjoy, Chase whined, rubbing his eyes with the heels of his palm. I'll figure it somehow. Besides, I got those swimming lessons coming up. Gotta get in shape, right? Swimming lessons, Gwen scoffed, her anger breaching its boiling point. You think now is the time to worry about impressing some lifeguard when you can't even pay your share of rent? Hey, it's my life, Chase shot back defensively. I can do what I want. Your life, Gwen snorted, her fist clenched at her sides. Look around you, Chase. Your life is affecting mine, too. This isn't just about you. Fine, Chase shouted, pushing himself off the couch and storming to his room, slamming the door. Gwen stared at the closed door, the weight of their argument heavy in the air. She knew Chase would be in for a rude awakening when he showed up for his first swimming lesson with Mark instead of Tabitha. But right now, all she could think about was how much longer she could bear living with someone so selfish and clueless about the consequences of his actions. Somehow, they needed to find a resolution before everything came crashing down around them. Gwen stood in front of Chase, arms crossed, and her expression as cold as the ice cubes floating in her glass of lemonade. The morning sun streamed through the window, casting a harsh light on the cluttered living room. All right, she said, her voice firm. I'll loan you the money, but there's going to be some changes around here. Chase looked up from his spot on the couch, his eyes widening with hope. Really? Thanks, Gwen. You're the best. Save it, she snapped. First off, you're going to start cleaning up after yourself. And not half-heartedly, either. In fact, she paused, a wicked grin spreading across her face, you're going to be my maid. You're what? Chase stammered, his earlier gratitude quickly fading. Yep, my maid, Gwen repeated, relishing the shock on his face. And I still have that French maid outfit from Halloween. Maybe you could wear that while you clean. Are you insane? He balked. But seeing the steely determination in her eyes, he sighed in defeat. Fine, whatever. Good, Gwen said, satisfied. Now go get dressed, maid. Julia's coming over later, and this place needs to be spotless. When Julie arrived, she found Chase in the middle of sweeping the floor, clad in the ridiculous French maid outfit. She couldn't help but let out a peal of laughter at the sight. Even Gwen, who had been watching him work with a smug smile, chuckled along with her friend. Chase, darling, Julie exclaimed, clapping her hands together. You look absolutely fabulous. Shut up, Chase grumbled, flushing with embarrassment as he continued to sweep. Wait, Julie suddenly cried, her eyes sparkling with mischief. I have an idea. Julie, no, Chase said, sensing her intentions. Please don't. Come on, it'll be fun, she insisted, already rummaging through her purse for her makeup kit. Let her have her fun, Chase, Gwen chimed in, relishing the opportunity to further humiliate her roommate. I'm not your doll, he sighed, resigning himself to his fate. No, you're my debtor, said Gwen. Julie approached him with a gleam in her eye, armed with an array of brushes and cosmetics. As she set to work, Chase couldn't help but wince at every stroke of the blush, every swipe of the mascara. He felt ridiculous, humiliated, but he knew better than to complain. When Julie finished, she stepped back, admiring her handiwork. There you go. Don't you look pretty? Enough, Chase snapped, his face burning with shame as he turned away from their laughter, focusing on his cleaning duties. Keep up the good work, Chase, Gwen called after him, her voice sweetly venomous. Remember, rent is due soon. Chase, you really should learn how to do your own makeup, Gwen declared, her voice dripping with condescension as she examined Julie's handiwork. You never know when you'll need to touch it up. Great idea, Julie chimed in. I actually have some old clothes at my place that would definitely fit him. Perfect for his new role. Perfect, Gwen agreed, clasping her hands together excitedly. We'll pick them up later. Can we just get this over with? Chase muttered, feeling the weight of the stares on his freshly made-up face. Fine. Gwen waved him off dismissively. But remember, you've got a lot of work ahead of you if you want to make up for all those missed rent payments. Right, Chase sighed, knowing full well he couldn't afford to argue. As the afternoon wore on, Chase begrudgingly continued his cleaning duties under Gwen and Julie's watchful eyes. Every now and again, they'd offer unsolicited advice or taunting remarks, but he did his best to ignore them and focus on the task at hand. It wasn't until his phone buzzed loudly from its place on the counter that he allowed himself a brief reprieve. Picking it up, he saw a message reminding him that his swim training lesson was scheduled for tomorrow. Furrowing his brow in confusion, he glanced at the name of the instructor, Mark. "Hey, Gwen," he called out hesitantly, "I think there's been a mix-up. I signed up for Tabitha's class, not Mark." "Really?" Gwen feigned surprise, exchanging a knowing glance with Julie. "Well, don't worry about it, Chase. I'm sure it's a glitch. Either way, I'm sure you're going to get a great workout." "Right," Chase mumbled, unable to shake the feeling that something was amiss. He pocketed his phone and returned to cleaning, all the while thinking about how he could possibly get out of this mess. "Remember, Chase," Gwen called after him, her voice laced with a subtle threat. "You don't want to disappoint your new instructor, do you? Better make sure you're prepared for tomorrow." "Of course not," he replied through gritted teeth, cursing his current predicament and hoping against hope that things would somehow improve. "Speaking of being prepared," Julie chimed in, a mischievous glint in her eye, "all good swimmers are hairless, you know. It reduces drag and all that." "Julie's got a point," Gwen agreed, smirking at Chase's discomfort. "You're a bit on the hairy side, buddy. We should probably take care of that." "You can't be serious." Chase's face reddened further, but he knew better than to argue. "Of course I can," Gwen clapped her hands together, her eyes alight with glee. "Let's get started, shall we?" Gwen led the way to the bathroom, where she began to run a bubble bath for Chase, filling the tub up with sweet-smelling lavender-scented water. The steam from the hot water fogged up the mirror as Chase stood by awkwardly, his heart hammering in his chest. "All right, Chase, strip down and hop in," Gwen ordered, her tone brooking no argument. Julie leaned against the wall, struggling to contain her laughter as Chase hesitated before finally complying. Once he was in the tub, Gwen handed him a razor and a can of shaving cream. "Get to work," she instructed. "We'll be right here to make sure you don't miss any spot." As Chase lathered up and began to shave, Gwen and Julie watched, offering pointers and occasionally reaching in to help when he seemed to struggle. The atmosphere was charged with tension, the air thick with the scent of lavender and unspoken humiliation. "Careful around the knees," Julie warned, biting back a smile. "You don't want any nicks or cuts." "Thanks for the tip," Chase muttered, focusing intently on the task at hand. He couldn't help but feel like a helpless pawn in some twisted game, and the presence of Gwen and Julie only served to heighten his sense of degradation. "Almost done," Gwen remarked, eyeing Chase's progress critically. "Just make sure you get everything. We don't want any stray hairs slowing you down." Chase nodded silently, doing his best to ignore the biting sarcasm in her voice. He knew that if he wanted to regain any semblance of control in his life, he had to endure this humiliation and hope for a chance at redemption. "All right, I think that's it," Chase finally said, setting the razor down and wiping away the remaining shaving cream with a washcloth. He looked at himself in the now clear mirror, cringing at his hairless reflection. "Perfect," Gwen declared, offering him a towel. "Now dry off and get dressed. You've got a big day ahead of you tomorrow." "Can't wait," Chase muttered under his breath as they left the bathroom, the door clicking shut behind them. He wondered what other surprises awaited him and how far he'd have to go before things could return to normal.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the Feminization Boudoir podcast from Candy Apple Press. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Candy Apple Press writer and occasional narrator, Victoria Vaughn. Our last ad for the premium podcast was a bit hard sell because we were very worried that Spotify could be pulling the plug on the free podcast very soon. A few months later, and it doesn't seem nearly as imminent a threat. So why should you subscribe to the premium podcast? First, we have about 55 hours of audios all available for the monthly price of $15. If you only heard the free versions, you're missing a bunch of short audios and some of the best parts of audios you have heard. Of course, there's new audios added every week. Even better, the subscription appears as payment to Spotify, so nobody has to know what it's for. If you can't afford it right now, we hope you'll continue to enjoy the free version. But if you do have the means, we don't think you'll be disappointed.
There's a link in the description to sign up for the premium, or just Google Premium Feminization Boudoir Podcast.
The next day, Chase sprinted toward the gym with a swim bag flung over his shoulder. His chest tightened as he realized how much was riding on this class. He couldn't wait to have his lesson with Tabitha, even if he was humiliated to have her see him completely hairless. "Chase!" a familiar voice called out from behind him. It was Julie, grinning ear to ear. "Good luck in your swimming class today." "Thanks," he replied through gritted teeth, trying to force a smile. As he entered the locker room, he rifled through his bag for his trusty black swim trunks, but instead found a magenta woman's two-piece swimsuit adorned with white flowers. He couldn't help but wonder if she knew about the swimsuit switch. "Very funny, Gwen," he muttered under his breath, staring at the swimsuit in disbelief. Tucked beneath the bikini top was a note in Gwen's unmistakable handwriting. "If you want to come back to the apartment, wear this." "Damn it," Chase whispered, clenching the note in his hand. He glanced around the locker room, ensuring no one was watching, and reluctantly began to change into the humiliating swimsuit. "Hey, is everything okay?" a fellow swimmer asked, noticing Chase's distress. Yeah, Chase stammered, trying to hide the magenta fabric under his towel. "Just forgot something at home." Bummer. The swimmer sympathized before heading to the pool. Chase stood there for a moment, feeling the weight of the decision he had to make. Did he have any other choice? With a heavy sigh, Chase pulled the magenta bikini top over his head and reluctantly fastened it in place. He cursed Gwen under his breath as he tugged on the matching bottoms, gritting his teeth as the fabric clung to his newly shaved skin. "Can't believe she's making me do this," he muttered, adjusting the skimpy piece of clothing as best he could. His reflection in the locker room mirror only added to his humiliation, showing off his skinny frame in the garish swimsuit. He looked away, unable to bear the sight any longer. As he hesitated at the door to the pool area, he took a deep breath and steeled himself for the inevitable embarrassment that awaited him. Opening the door, he stepped out into the humid air, immediately feeling exposed and vulnerable in his ridiculous attire. He hoped to move as quickly as possible to the parking lot so nobody would see his face. He'd have to skip class with Tabitha, but he couldn't let her see him like this. "Hey, you must be Grace, my 3 o'clock," called a deep voice from across the pool. Chase's heart skipped a beat as he spotted Mark, the buff male trainer he'd been unwittingly signed up with. The man's muscular physique was even more intimidating up close, and Chase felt like a deer caught in the headlights. Actually, there's been some kind of mistake. I signed up for lessons with Tabitha," he stammered, trying to maintain what little dignity he had left. "Tabitha? Oh, she's got another client right now," Mike replied, not even questioning Chase's appearance. "Looks like you're stuck with me, Grace." "Chase," he corrected weakly, but Mark had already turned away, gesturing for him to follow. "Come on, let's get in the water. We got a lot to cover today," the instructor barked, leaving Chase no chance to protest further. "Great," he mumbled, trudging towards the edge of the pool with a heavy heart. As he lowered himself into the cool water, he couldn't help but curse Gwen once more for this predicament she'd put him in. For the next hour, Mark put him through his paces. Even muscles he didn't know he had were aching. Chase heaved himself out of the pool, each muscle protesting with fiery twinges of exhaustion. Mark had pushed him to his limits again, sculpting his endurance with a relentless barrage of drills and laps that left Chase feeling as though his limbs were crafted from lead rather than flesh. "Good work today, Grace," Mark said, slapping him on the back, a gesture meant to be encouraging, but feeling more like an added weight on his already overtaxed body. "Remember, pain is just weakness leaving the body." "Thanks," Chase groaned, too spent to muster more than a single word. It was then that he caught sight of her. Tabitha, with that easy smile that seemed to effortlessly draw people in. She was perched at the edge of the adjacent pool, legs dangling in the water, laughing at something her client, a tall, broad-shouldered man who could have been Mark's doppelganger, had just said. Why did he even need a trainer? "Come on, Tabitha, you can't possibly believe I'd ever try that stunt again," the man chuckled, shaking his head with mock dismay. "Believe it, I expect a full encore performance," Tabitha teased, her laughter mingling with the echoing splashes and distant chatter of the aquatic center. Chase couldn't help but linger on the scene. The ease of their banter, a sharp contrast to the rigorous session he'd just endured. As Mark barked orders at another swimmer, Chase felt a heavy twinge of something beyond the physical ache, a sense of yearning, perhaps, or envy, a sense of yearning, perhaps, or envy, for the camaraderie that Tabitha shared with her clients. "Hey, Grace, you planning on taking root there?" Mark called out, his voice slicing through the humid air and pulling Chase back to the present. "Get moving, or I'll have you do cool-down laps till midnight." "Right," Chase mumbled, tearing his gaze away from Tabitha and her companion. With great effort, he shuffled towards the locker room, each step reminding him that tomorrow morning's stiffness would be a testament to today's endeavors. He tried to be quiet so that Mark wouldn't notice which locker room he was going into. Chase's limbs protested with every step as he navigated the familiar path to his apartment, muscles groaning in chorus with the creaking of the old building stairs. The door swung open to an unexpected sight. Julie perched on the edge of the couch like a cat, surveying her kingdom, a chaotic array of fabrics and colors strewn around her. "Ah, the conquering hero returns," Julie quipped, her eyes tingling with mischief. "You look, well, pummeled, actually." He dropped his gym bag, the thud muffled by a pile of chiffon. "What in the hell happened here?" "Your new wardrobe," Julie announced, sweeping her hand over the sartorial wreckage. "Gwen and I went thrift shopping while you were drowning in testosterone and pool water." "New," Chase began, but his voice was like a hoarse whisper, drowned out by the click-click of high heels Julie held aloft like a trophy. "Yep," she said, tilting her head to one side and displaying the strappy heels she was holding. "And guess what? You're going to learn to stretch your stuff in these beauties." "Absolutely not," Chase said, straightening up, trying to muster the authority he did not feel. "Ooh, touchy," Julie's lips curled into a smirk. "But let's not forget about that little mountain of debt to Gwen. She's got leverage, sweetheart, and she's not afraid to use it." "Blackmail?" "Julie, really?" His voice rose with incredulity, yet his gaze couldn't help but snag on a lacy bra peeking out from under her top. "Call it motivation," she countered, her voice sharp as the clack of heels on hardwood. "Or pay up. Your choice." Chase's jaw clenched, defenses rallying around the absurdity of it all. He looked away, focusing on a crack in the plaster, anything but the circus of garments and Julie's calculating stare. A deep breath shuddered through him, resignation seeping into his bones along with a persistent ache from Mark's training gauntlet. "Fine," he ground out, defeated. "Let's get this over with." "That a boy," Julie clapped her hands, delight flickering in her eyes. "First lesson, balance is key." He picked up a heel, its strap dangling like a question he didn't want to answer. The world had narrowed to fabric and obligation, and Chase could do nothing but play a part in Julie's twisted pageant. The clatter of heels echoed down the hallway as Chase's unsteady steps betrayed his inexperience. Julie, ever the puppeteer, watched with a glint of triumph in her eyes. "Remember, chest out, shoulders back," she coached, her voice a melody of condescension. "And now we pivot." Chase executed a clumsy turn, the fabric of the dress swishing against his legs, a constant reminder of his bizarre predicament. The mirror reflected a stranger, an amateurish drag queen dressed in borrowed confidence. "Enough," Chase exclaimed, halting mid-stride. "I'm not going to the bar like this." Julie's eyebrows arched in feigned surprise. "Oh, but you are. We're meeting Gwen, and she's expecting to see the fruits of our labor." "Nobody's going to buy this," he protested, gesturing at the garish ensemble that clung to him. "Trust me, darling, they will," Julie waved a dismissive hand. "People see what they want to see." As Chase entered the bar, he could feel the weight of every gaze, imagined or otherwise, as Julie navigated through the crowd with ease. "Smile," she hissed, steering him with a firm grip on the elbow. "You look like you're headed for the gallows." He complied with a stiff grimace, each step a precarious negotiation between balance and dignity. At their table, Julie relished the moment, her lips curling into a victorious crescent. "Come on," Julie nudged him forward, her smile never faltering. "Let's give him a show." Chase swallowed the bitterness rising in his throat, the taste of defeat mingling with the cheap lipstick he'd been made to wear. With no other choice, he let Julie guide him deeper into the fray, a pawn in a game he never agreed to play. The noise at the bar faded as Chase settled into the corner booth, the hem of the ill-fitting dress grazing his thighs. Each movement was a grimace etched into his face, muscles protesting loudly against the day's exertions. "Looking a bit stiff there, aren't you?" Gwen's voice cut through the hum of background chatter, devoid of sympathy, but carrying an edge of curiosity. Mark doesn't believe in half measures, Chase muttered, shifting uncomfortably. His hands, adorned with chipped nail polish, gripped the edges of the table. Ah, the infamous Mark, Gwen mused, sipping her drink with an air of detachment. Well, at least you've got a break now. No more torture sessions for 2 days. Great, he said flatly, the word laced with sarcasm. The thought of relief was a distant promise, something to cling to while navigating the absurdity of the present. Gwen leaned back, her gaze sweeping over him with clinical disinterest that bordered on scrutiny. Use the time wisely. Maybe practice sitting pretty for your next public outing. A muscle twitched in Chase's jaw, the sting of her words lingering like a phantom touch of nettles. He adjusted his posture, trying to find a position that didn't send fresh waves of discomfort radiating through his body. Or better yet, she continued, her tone light, mocking, work on your poker face. It'll come in handy with dealing with life's little surprises. Look there, Julie murmured, nodding towards a corner booth bathed in a warm glow of an overhead lamp. Chase followed her gaze and felt the floor fall away beneath them. Tabitha was there, her laughter ringing clear across the din of conversations. Beside her, the man from the pool, her client. Chiseled jaw, easy charm, they were a portrait of casual intimacy, a tableau that twisted the knife in Chase's gut. Devastating, isn't it? Julie's voice slithered into his ear, a whisper meant to wound. The world moves on, sweetie. He was frozen. The ache in his muscles now secondary to the sharp pang of betrayal that lanced through him. Tabitha's happiness, so starkly contrasted with his own bizarre charade, was a cruel joke played at his expense. Surprises, he echoed, the bitterness of the word mingling with the artificial sweetness of the drink. The night stretched out before him, a gauntlet of hours to endure in this twisted masquerade.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. I always like when I can give a complete story on the free podcast. The premium gets another story by Jen Davis, but that one had a beginning, middle, and end, so I'm always happy about that. It's been kind of a rough week for me. Chance ran away one day when the gate was left open by a worker, and I could not catch him. He wanted to go into the next block and then managed to lose me under a truck and then doubled back to our house to bark at my other dog while I was looking for him. Fortunately, a neighbor picked me up, gave me a ride back, and I managed to trick him into the car by pretending we were going someplace. That's the only way I got the leash on him. He needs some good training. So anyway, chance willing, I will be back next week. I hope you will be too. Thanks so much for all your support. Take care.